Well, it's very nice to be here with you this morning. Coming back from Boston last week, I felt your well wishes and your joy and your support. Thank you all for being such a vital part of my formation. I told the committee if they didn't fellowship me that they would have all of you to answer to. So that was what did it. Thank you. Nestled in rural Pennsylvania on 82 acres lives Cherry Springs State Park. Unlike most parks known for various recreational activities such as hiking or fishing or camping or the like, Cherry Springs is known for something unique indeed. It holds the designation for a gold tier international dark sky park. Now, this is granted by the International Dark Sky Park Association, which establishes and supports dark sky preserves around the world. So this is an important distinction as, according to journalist Amanda Petrushik, due to excessive light pollution, 80% of North America and Europe can no longer experience true darkness in the night sky. It is in the darkness of the night sky that thinkers, philosophers, and spiritual guides have postulated, calculated, and forecasted the ebb and the flow of life on this planet for thousands of years. In fact, it has been said that the very field of science is predicated upon the gazing and experiencing of the night sky. It is in our ancestral bones to be in the darkness, to experience it, to learn from it. There's something in us that is drawn to the mystery and the wonder contained in the vast unknown of the pure night sky. Now, interestingly, our ancestors were not looking into the skies for the darkness, but rather they were looking for those spaces of light, the stars, the moon, the planets. But those spaces of light, even in themselves, are held within the darkness, revealed through the darkness, and are recognizable only in contrast to the darkness in which they are held. Likewise, in ourselves and in our lives, we can only experience the darkness as we experience it in ourselves. Yeah, my notes are out of order, so bear with me on this one. So when we look at Cherry Springs National Park, somewhere that is reserved to hold the light, to hold the darkness, we experience the phenomenon that we've noticed in our modern world. When we of our ancestors of old looked to the night skies for guidance, somewhere along the way that transformed into a complete omittance of the dark. Like aforementioned, 80% of North America and Europe cannot experience that true darkness. Somewhere along the way, we began conflating dark with bad, or what is evil, or what we wish not to have in our light. Somewhere along the way, embracing of the darkness became obscured by our preoccupation with the light. Darkness became scary, the unknown, the thing to be avoided. True darkness even became a rarity, something to be preserved and protected, confined to a recreational activity. The loss of darkness became a loss of a lesson from our natural world. And so it is in our lives and in ourselves. Dark as a metaphor typically defines periods in our lives or characteristics about ourselves that we deem unsightly. Times we wish to not revisit, parts of ourselves we'd rather not be a part of the whole of ourselves, or even aspects of society and culture that don't quite jive with our idea of the beloved community. And interestingly, darkness is not just a metaphor or a condition, it also serves as a location, a place for the unsightly, the rugged, the disdainful, a place to stay forever out of sight and hopefully out of mind. But can the darkness be transformed when approached from a place of respect and love? Can we transform the darkness to learn from it as those did long ago? So we are fast approaching the winter solstice, a timeless observance celebrated in many cultures in a variety of ways. The winter solstice marks the beginning of the winter season and is also significant as the shortest day of the year. Often, the celebrations of the solstice revere the return of the Sun King or of the light. But the true hero of the solstice story is the dark. It is on this darkest night of the year that we sit with ourselves in the darkness. We reflect, we remember, we absorb. Now, this is not specifically a time for mourning or for sorrow, although it can be for some, but rather it's a time to move into the unknown, to set intentions for an unknown and unformed future. The task is to feel and embody the darkness rather than move through it. In the solstice poem, Blessings of the Night, Jan Richardson writes, "All throughout these months, as the shadows have lengthened, this blessing has been gathering itself, making ready, preparing for this night. It has practiced walking in the dark, traveling with its eyes closed, feeling its way by memory, by touch, by the pull of the moon, even as it wanes. So believe me when I tell you, this blessing will reach you, even if you have not light enough to read it. If you will find, it will find you, even though you cannot always see it coming." The solstice is not a race to the light, but a stroll in the dark. It is not concerned with the fruits of the returning sun, for we know the sun will return. We know the sun will return and it will be plentiful. The solstice is instead a space for the blessings of the dark. So the theme for this month is December is hope. And last week, Reverend Christian shared about hope in the now rather than hope in the present, and what a gift that is in our present climate. That we can hope not only for the light, but that we can hope in the darkness. So about a year ago, in the wake of the election for the United States president, an internet meme began cycling around. It was in response to the growing unrest and dis-ease at the state of the nation and the disbelief that we could have possibly elected somebody like this in this day and age. The meme stated, "Things are not getting worse, they are getting uncovered. We must hold each other tight and continue to pull back the veil." Now, this piece of modern literature describes the great revelation of our time, the knowledge that this world, our world, was never really safe for anyone, that we've always been living in uncertainty, and that for many people, those marginalized by white supremacy or patriarchy, class, empire, and a host of other powers, that for those people, hell has always been on earth. But it's also a message of hope. That the salvation is not in the righting of those wrongs, although we will continue that work, but that the salvation is in the community we build as we wander in these dark and unknown territories. And more so, that the key to hope lies in wait behind the veil, that it is within the darkness, that that is the hope. We cannot get to the beloved community by bypassing the dark. And because this beloved community is shapeless and unformed, it's safe to say that it is the darkness, the unknown. And this darkness provides us with an opportunity to connect with one another, to grow together, to go through it, to witness and cherish and know what we are made of. And we are here for it. We, just like our ancestors of old, were made for the darkness. We were made from the darkness. And when we move with that kind of certainty, in this climate, we can move mountains. We can put shape to what is shapeless, we can put shape to that hope. But absolutely none of that is possible if we don't examine the darkness within our very self. That shadow side, those parts of ourself that, try as we may, we cannot shake. Those parts of ourselves that are unsuitable for public consumption, those parts that are hurt and hidden and broken and out of balance, those parts of ourselves yet to be revealed. And as we know by now, the darkness, or our shadow, is a place of great mystery and wonder. But rather than only the unknown, within our shadow is a place of great power and great understanding. Psychologist and spiritualist Carl Jung postulates, only when we realize that part of ourselves which we have not seen or preferred not to see, can we proceed to question and find the sources from within which feeds and the basis of it which it rests. Hence, no progress or growth is possible until the shadow is adequately confronted, and confronting means more than merely knowing about it. It's not until we have truly been shocked into seeing ourselves as we really are, instead of as we wish to be, or hopefully assume that we are, that we can take the first step toward individual reality. He says, when we are shocked into seeing ourselves as we really are, we can take the first step toward reality. Light can be manipulated. It can be created and changed and controlled, but darkness can only be left alone in its existence. The second it is added upon, it no longer is the dark. It only has the one state of being. Likewise with our shadow, our literal shadow, the one that we create with our bodies, is only an imprint of what is left out of the light. It increases the darkness that is left over. It encases the darkness in our world and in our shadow. And our metaphorical shadow, just like Peter Pan's shadow, for example, it can take on a life of its own, controlling us but always connected to us. But to erase the shadow either way is to erase both the light and the dark that it is born from. To erase those unnamed parts of ourselves is to deny ourselves the fullness of who we are. It is in abandonment that we recognize our strength to connect. It is within our shadow that we realize those pieces of ourselves that are strong, that are present, that are our fullness. And our shadow, it may not provide any answers, definitely not all of the answers, but it will provide lessons, insights, strengths, power. We know that the dark is powerful. We know we've been gaining lessons and understanding and knowledge from the dark for thousands of years, and we know that we ourselves are powerful, that we are capable, that we are open and willing. So, in the darkness, we are even more powerful in our knowledge of it. Our shadows are, in and of themselves, an act of revelation. So, in answer to my earlier question, can we transform the darkness and learn from it as our ancestors of old did? My answer would be no. Darkness cannot be transformed and remain darkness. And surely, in any of our attempts to transform darkness, the impulse would be to transform it into light. As a vital aspect of our whole selves, the darkness need not be transformed, but rather embraced. To embrace the darkness in ourselves requires a strength in character, a willing spirit, a guidance from our source, and a guidance from our community. And when we embrace that darkness within ourselves, we embrace our power, our openness, our willingness to welcome our full selves, to sit at this table that is set for us, to welcome our demons, to welcome those parts that we have hidden. When we welcome our full selves, we welcome ourselves to receive the good news, that we need not be perfect and flawless or smooth and polished, that we get to be rough and raw and vulnerable and exposed. And what a blessing to have access, to a source of unconditional love, to have access to a source of love that doesn't run out, that you continue to lay your burdens down to. A source that welcomes all that we are and all that we ever could be. What a blessing. May we embrace that mighty dark sky our ancestors of old did, not only for the brightness of the stars, but for the beauty of the dark. May we rest in the blessing of our shadow, knowing that our shadow is merely a mirror of ourselves. That it is through our fullness and our completeness that we are able to move through the world, connecting, creating, living, and loving, and that we are capable of a fullness of life. May it always be so. Blessed be.